people who are interested in possibly buying their own building and, you know, marketing and so on and so forth. So I think that that is just a great thing, and take advantage of it. I recommend it to everybody. Does anyone have any questions on that before I start into this week's conference call?
Nope.
Okay, good. Got one guy saying no. That's at least I got an answer, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Okay, the other day when I was on the phone speaking to different people with APS clients, I came up with a few things that I just find myself speaking about regularly, and I said, wow, this would be great to add to this topic. So this week we're going to go over holiday student drives, what we could do in this season to get people to come into our school. And then marketing as well, because marketing should always be tied into everything that we do. And then the second thing would also be gear sales, how to increase revenue in our schools and actually make more money with the same amount of clientele, because I know a lot of us, and I know I've always been caught in this mentality, is grow my student base so I could grow my billing check every single month. And sometimes it doesn't always equal out that way. And there's other ways that you could do these things, growing your monthly check without always growing your student base. And then the third thing, I'm going to write an article, and it's going to be on my website, taking it to the next level, and I'm also going to incorporate a whole section on it, maybe one or two of sexual weeks, to Joanne from APS, and it's going to be called Opening Up a Can of Worms. And this kind of came out from one of our conference calls yesterday, and I pretty much didn't realize that I always continually, when I do my sales, after I'm done selling, I open up a can of worms, which some people are afraid to do, and I'll explain that in a little more detail. So let me first start off with the first thing, driving students into our school during the holidays. Now, I know a lot of schools that I speak to across the country will say to me that they have a shoestring budget or a small budget or a low budget to advertise. And I have to honestly say that up until recently, I've run my school for the last 13 years with that same mentality and that same budget. The only thing that I want to encourage people to do is to really kind of at some point, think out of the box and think with a different mindset, and we're going to do that, changing the mindset on really what your budget is for advertising. And then the second thing is that we could give you solutions to low-cost marketing. So if you guys have pens handy and you want to jot this down, you may be doing it already, you may not be, but if you are, then that's great, and if you're not, maybe this is just a bunch of ideas. One thing that I like to do, and I've been doing like mad, is door hangers. And I know a lot of people do them, and you might have heard me speak about this, but I also want to throw a twist into it. A lot of us go out and we do low-cost marketing like flyers, or we put pictures of our school or a flyer in a store. We leave our whatever we have to advertise, VIP cards, whatever it may be, in local stores, or we deliver them to houses. The problem that I find is that we go out with a vengeance and we blast an entire area, and we send out, however, let's just say, for instance, we do 5,000 flyers. And then we don't ever go back to that area. And then we say to ourselves, wow, we never got any calls. Or we maybe got one call out of 5,000. I had a friend of mine who runs my school in Costa Rica, and he had said, well, I did 10,000 flyers, and all I got was 10 calls. And I said, how many people joined? He goes, well, 10 people joined. He goes, but I'll never waste that much money on flyers again. And I said, okay, well, this is the concept. How many people joined? You had 10. How much is a yearly membership? And he said, I forget what it is there, but it's, let's just say, for instance, it's $1,000. And he said, so you brought in $10,000 into the school. And he says, well, I guess. He didn't even think about that. And then I said, how much did the flyers cost? And he says, they cost me like $500. So I said, for $500 and whatever amount of time and effort you put in, you got about $10,000 in return. So sometimes, as short-sighted as we may be, or as business people, we don't think of the customer value. And we need to start establishing what a customer's value is in our martial arts school. And I talked about this a few episodes ago, and I want to reiterate one more time that customer value equals a few things. If a student joins your school and they sign up and they stay for an average of a year, let's just say a year, and your contract is valued at $1,500, that customer value is not just $1,500, because maybe that person or average people will recommend one person to you. And that person that they recommend may join. So their customer value is 1,500 times 2, which is $3,000. Plus, if they buy gear and go to a special event, and let's just say they do two of those a year and it cost them $200, now their customer value is $3,200. So any smart businessman would say, in order to bring in $3,200, how much would a person spend to bring in $3,200. A smart businessman would spend $2,800 if he had to bring in $3,200 because he's still making a profit. Anybody who thinks like, well, I've exhausted my efforts, I went out and I did flyers and I delivered 10,000 of them, they cost me $500 and I never got any response, that doesn't mean that you should stop, because the key to it is persistent delivery. If you're going to deliver flyers to an area, you should do it at least every 2 weeks for consistency of like 6 weeks in a row. You need to saturate that market, and we tend to think that we're not mailing direct mail, so we go out and we hand out flyers. We only hand them out at a supermarket once, and we're never back again. We want people to see us and go, oh, no, there's that guy with that flyer again. So that when they're thinking of joining a school, they've already been programmed and pre-framed that our school is the school to join. Does that make sense to everybody out there?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think, though, and I would honestly say, and it's funny when I talk to people, everyone does what they're supposed to do when I speak to them. But in reality, I know that a lot of us know in our hearts that we fall short a lot of times. So I think that what we need to do is really look at our schedule, write down every Friday for the next 6 weeks I'm going to deliver flyers. And I'm going to do a 12-week or 18-week cycle. So after the first 6 weeks, I hit this area. The next 6 weeks, I hit that area. The next 6 weeks, I'm back to the first area. The next 6 weeks, I'm back to the next area. And I cover those areas consistently over and over again. So it's almost like running an ad in the newspaper on a consistent basis rather than spending $400 and putting it out once and not getting any calls and getting discouraged. Now,
so
go ahead.
So it's cute. Every Friday, deliver flyers for 6 weeks in the same area?
I would deliver flyers for 6 weeks consistently, like do a switch. Like maybe do every Friday in, let's say, Area A. The next Friday, do Area B. The next Friday, do Area C. Then on the third, fourth Friday, start in Area A again and cycle. It's better to do a consistent marketing effort in one area than to blanket an entire area and only do that every once in a blue moon, because you'll get better results that way. All of us know that it takes a while for us to establish our name in our particular town. And once we establish our name in that particular town, people will come to us just because they know we've been there. Hey, I know you've been in the area for 15 years, and I know 25 people that went to your school. And whenever someone talks about martial arts, they mention your name. That's because we've been there consistently getting the name out. I watched a great movie on HBO the other day, which was about the Democratic National Convention and how these guys market themselves for 2 years before they actually run and they get nominated to even be on the presidential campaign. And they spend millions and millions of dollars just to get people to recognize who they are before they're even considered as a president. And the thing that I find is that we tend to, as martial artists, tend to think that we're not really getting the results, but really, in essence, we're not putting the time forward, and we don't have a real professional campaign. And I don't mean you have to go to a marketing agency. All I mean is that you have to be consistent and say, I'm going to dedicate the next 4 months and hit these areas and do these things, whether it be a flyer, a door hanger, a VIP pass, a lead boxes, add in the local paper, community effort, working with, you know, small, cheap, inexpensive programs, doing them for free at all the local libraries or whatever you may do. But do all those things consistently and do them for a regular period of time, and then continually throw things in the mix, you know, of course do special events, but at the same time have repetitive marketing. And that's what I want to encourage people. Now, a whole bunch of low-cost marketing, I go over this all the time. Right now, we should be giving out holiday passes. A lot of people probably gave out a Halloween trick-or-treat or kick-or-treat or whatever we call it pass to get people in, and I recommended that on my last conference call. So now we have the holiday shift, and I'll give you one idea that I do is I get these passes. They're made they're not little business card size. They're more like a invitation size, and they're a free month pass designed with a nice Christmas logo on it, and I believe APS has them available, or I can get them for you through taking it to the next level with our graphic artists, and through APS, of course, and I give them out five to each of my students. I give out five guest passes, and they're worth $99 value. So now there's two things that we do. One, why would the student want to give those out? And the thing that they do is they give them out because it's worth $99, and they're actually giving them out as a Christmas present, and it's a $99 Christmas present. So they don't even have to, if they didn't want to, buy that person a Christmas present. The second thing, they get five of them, so each student that I have, if I have 400 students in my school, I'm getting 3,200 Christmas passes given out for the holiday season. Now, if you give out more passes, sometimes the parents will take 30 of them for the kids to give out during their holiday parties in school. Now, we have a rush. We could do a Thanksgiving pass, and we could do a Christmas pass. We have 2 months that we could actually encourage people to give out passes to our school. And they're very inexpensive. If you invested $500 for like 5,000 passes, that would be a lot. And you could literally triple the amount of flow in your school in the next 2 months. Because if you think of the amount, if you have 100 students and they give out five passes, that's five, 500 passes that are going to be given out in your school. So it's really, really, really important that we jump on this bandwagon. And that could also be tied into a VIP campaign as well, where you give out VIP passes to all your students to give out on a regular basis. So that's one holiday drive that we do. The second thing I suggest is a holiday income generator where you're doing something in Thanksgiving for the November season, and then you're doing something for the Christmas season where you give back, whether it be a Christmas party or a parents' night out, where you invite all your students to come down for a fee of, let's say, I don't know, whatever you want to do, anywhere from $10 to $35, depending on how much you might want to make or how much you want to give back, and encourage that to be a buddy day. So what I do with my students, I'll say, if you come to the seminar and it's $25, if you bring a buddy, they pay $25, you only pay $10. So that they're encouraged to bring a friend because it's going to save them money, and then they're bringing a friend to the dojo or to the school that's never been there before and encouraging a new member to try out a class and enjoy themselves. And you could do that four times. You could do every Friday as buddy night. Bring any friend you want every Friday, or every Saturday for the month of November is buddy month. It's buddy month this month. Like a lot of times we'll just do a buddy day once and we won't do it for 3-4 months. Well, we could make every Friday buddy night if we wanted to. And of course they can't just keep bringing the same buddy down that hadn't joined, but again, that wouldn't matter either if we did that, because if they came 4 or 5 times and start to really love it, they may join anyway. So that's another idea that I have as far as holiday marketing and drive for students. The next thing is, I would recommend for everybody, and again, I think APS has this available or I could get it to you, is to get holiday gift certificates and start now advertising, buy martial arts for a friend for the holidays. Give people the benefit of what you get give the benefits of what you get to someone else.
You said buy martial arts what?
Buy someone that you care about a martial art, the benefits of martial arts for the holidays. I'm not saying that's the exact line, but that's just an idea. And encourage your students, if they're going to be buying these silly gifts, why not buy a $100 gift certificate or sell your gift certificates valued at $100 for $50. So sell a $100 gift certificate on sale for the month of November and December for $50. So people could buy a $100 gift certificate, look like they paid $100 and only pay $50, do a special for them. And they're going to give this gift certificate to someone that will possibly become a student, maybe join the school. Even if they come just for a month, you made $50. And if you do 20 of those, you've made $1,000. So that's another idea that I think that we need to press, and we have to continually work with our student base. Does that make sense so far? Because I don't want to ramble on and just continually keep throwing things if we're not really getting, anything out of it. So we have three things. Let's quickly just go back over what we had said. We have the holiday gift certificate. We had talked about the VIP passes the holiday gift certificate, the VIP passes, and the holiday cards. And I mentioned one other thing. I forget what it was.
Income generators.
Right, the income generators. And I think I mentioned another source of advertising with flyers we talked about
door hangers.
Flyer distribution and door hangers. Right. So there's a few things right there that just off the top of my head are just a dynamic way to increase enrollment and get people in through the door. Now, one other thing I want to talk about, how many people out there do gear sales in their store, in their school? I mean, is it the majority? We have 25 people online or something like that. Does everybody, could I say that, is there anybody out there that is not really doing what they'd like to be doing in gear sales? Probably, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me just give you an idea. I started a small little store in the back of my school about 9 years ago just to supply gear to my students. In 9 years, that store developed into about close to $500,000 a year in sales of retail. And the majority, I'd say 60% of it, is students in my schools. Although I have 1,200 students, but we do a lot of wholesale around the country and so on. So I want you guys to start looking, as martial arts school owners, as the gear sales, as a huge, huge value to your studio. For instance, when I talked about student value, what we need to do is to put a target mark price on what we want each student to purchase per year. Now, let's just be conservative and say if we have 100 students and we get them to purchase only $100 a year of gear, that's $10,000 added to your income. Of course, it's not all profit. So let's say if your profit margin is 40%, you've made yourself $4,000 extra for the year. Not that bad. And if you start to tap into some other markets where, you know, you have things that maybe the parents will buy for Christmas, like candles or wind chimes or music or whatever it may be, you have a viable outlet because you have a constant flow of people that are coming in your school that are going to need things. And one thing I would totally and highly recommend to everybody is to somehow find a way to tie your gear sales into your curriculum. I don't know if this is foreign to some people or not, but I'll just go through it real quickly. In my school, there is about 9 things that a student has to buy from beginner to black belt. And it's all set out. Like, for instance, at white belt level, when they first get their white belt, they're expected to buy a set of fighting gear with a mesh bag to carry it in. So they know this ahead of time, and this will tie into my next thing called opening up a can of worms.
So what's the first thing you said it was?
First thing that my people in my curriculum have to buy is fighting gear. At yellow belt level, it's mandatory that they buy themselves a bow staff, which we teach Rokshaku bow, long 6-foot bow, and they have to buy a size, which is...
So yellow belt, they have to buy a bow staff.
And sai. And they have to buy the cases for both. At the green belt level, there's other things like tomfa and a boken, which is tomfa and boken are both tied into our system. But it's all part of our curriculum. So, like, for instance, at white belt level, they start to learn the basics of sparring, so they're wearing their sparring gear. And we tie that sparring classes once a month. We do a whole entire week of sparring classes for a half an hour, 15, 20 minutes per class, and they have to bring their gear down. So if they don't have gear, they really can't do the class.
So white belt sparring gear,
yeah.
And you do a 30-minute class.
Yeah, and you know what, I could go into this a little bit more because my school is specific, so I do it a specific way, but you guys can coordinate it to be whatever's good for your school.
And they do that once a month? Or
I do it once a month for an entire week. Like 1 week out of the month we'll be sparring. But then we have sai and bow, that's the next level. Then we have tomfa, and for the green belt level they have this and that, and for blue they have this and that, and then they have this for the purple and brown and then black. So by the time they've gotten the black belt, which is 5 years, they've spent about $580 on tools to be able to learn what they're learning in our school.
Which is over approximately $100 a year.
Yeah, I would say about $100 to $120 a year, somewhere around there. Now, this doesn't include all the other additional things that we try to get them to buy, which is like dojo martial arts school jackets, martial art hats with our logo on it, T-shirts with our name on it. Another thing I would suggest for you to do, is in our school, we wear T-shirts under our uniforms. It's mandatory that they wear shorts under their uniform and T-shirts under their gi top, and they have to be dojo T-shirts and dojo shorts. So that's mandatory that they buy that as well. That's part of the uniform. When they first join, we give them the uniform and the T-shirt. But if they need to buy extra ones because they want more than one, we have the shirts available. We also have jackets, hats. We have everything you could think of next to underwear with our logo on it. We have bibs that we give to the parents that are just having babies for free with our logo on it. We have stickers that go on the cars. We have pins with our name. We have pens. We have backpacks for kids. I mean, anything you could ever think that you could sell to a student, and we don't cram it down their throat. It's just available to them. And for you guys that may not have a pro shop, you can have pictures of this stuff on the wall and maybe one of them as a sample item and take orders. Like, for instance, right now the fall is ideal to get your name out on jackets. So we do custom embroidery and silk screening for many, many martial arts schools, and then we'll put that on, you know, on display, and we'll say, taking jacket orders now, if you buy before such and such a date, you get 15% off, and you can have your name on the front, the logo on the back. They come in six different colors, and they cost between $80 and $120, depending on the style jacket that you pick. And then once we get all the names and the payments on the jackets or deposits on it, we go out and we place the order, and we have them done, and when they come in, everyone buys their stuff. So right now is a really good time to make knit hats and jackets and, you know, anything that you could think of to market in your school. And I must say that I just saw the Century catalog, and the Century catalog has some unbelievable Christmas products in there that I think is going to be really – we just placed a huge order with Century, and I think that would be great for you guys to have the catalog out there, maybe do a wish list for the students where you hand out a piece of paper that says, Dear Mom and Dad, for Christmas I want, and it says fighting gear. I hear that noise again in the background there, so we're going to have to find out who has that so we can mute it. Who is that, Joanne?
It appears that someone's in a car or driving or has a radio on in the background.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll ask me.
Hi.
F-Maker, how you doing?
Okay, I'm going to actually mute you just so that we don't hear the background noise.
Okay.
Great, and I didn't even know that song, so that was a big problem. But okay, so then, what you need to do is get that list, and I think Century supplies it, or Maya, or Anatmo, whatever, or make your own and says, Dear Mom and Dad, for Christmas I want, if I'm good, and I do all my homework, and I do all my this, and I'm polite to my mom and dad, I want a dojo jacket, or I want fighting gear, or I want weapons, or, and then that's where you got to communicate with the parents and say, listen, don't buy a stupid gift that's valueless when you know you're going to have to buy something from our school to make them better in what they do. Kill two birds with one stone and make this Christmas a dojo Christmas. Buy them a jacket with our name on it so that ties them into our school and makes them more excited and motivated. Buy them the fighting gear that they need rather than the, you know, new Xbox game. Or get them both, but don't waste money on things that are not going to make them progress in what we do. Because the more you get them involved, the better it is for them, and the more gear sales you guys are going to sell. I would say a school with 100 students should be selling an average of like $2,000 to $2,500 a month in gear. If you have all the campaigns.
You're saying how much now?
About $2,000 to $2,500 a month with 100 students.
Cool.
And now I'm basing this not off of having a...
$2,000 to $2,500,
you said? Yeah, a month. And now what I'm basing this off of is special items, you know, special things that they're going to have to buy. Right now, you could do at least $2,500 or more a month from November to December for the holidays, as long as you prepare. And the one thing that I would suggest is to block out a day. And I know I'm always saying one thing that I suggest, and I've suggested 50 million things, but here's another thing that I suggest, is to take a day in December, early December, or like the day after Thanksgiving, on Black Friday they call it, or whatever, I don't even know why they call it that, because it's a terrible name, but anyway, that Friday or that Saturday, have a specific sale just for all the parents to come in and buy all their product. And if you wanted to, you could do it off of catalogs, and you give out these extreme discounts and make it like a huge sale where they come in. I had a friend last year who did $10,000 in one day. $10,000 in gear sales in one day out of school. So as long as you set this up and you market it properly and you get people out there to recognize what you're doing, then you guys will do really, really well for the holidays. So now I'm going to ask if anybody has a few questions before I go on to topic number three, and then we'll also have questions at the end of that. But does anyone right now have a question on all the stuff that I just rambled on about?
I got a question, Allie.
Sure.
This is Mike in Connecticut.
Hey, bud.
Couple things. With when you first started talking about it, you started talking about door hangers and flyers, handing them out.
Right.
That's something we don't do, and I'm curious. I have two questions for you. First, on the door hangers and handouts, if you put things on like people's cars and parking lots, I have no idea like what the legalities of that are,
right,
if they're state to state, or if you can do it if they don't post a sign. So, then the other thing is how people react to that, because we kind of tend to think, our assumption is that people don't like that. I know I don't like when people put things on my windshield.
Yeah.
And the other question, the part two, is on what you give. I know you give away, I think you give away a year's membership when people bring in X amount.
For my referral?
I wanted to know how you do that.
Okay. Let me just jot those two things down. So we said referral and then also the door hanger stuff.
Door hanger. Yeah, we were going to, you know, we came this close to putting going to the shopping center across the street and posting a haunted, we did a haunted house here.
Right, right.
Which I recommend nobody ever do if they want to keep, maintain their sanity.
Yeah, we did it too, right.
Oh, it was unbelievable. But we were going to put them on people's cars, and we just feel like it's obnoxious.
Well, let me fix that for you right away, and I'll tell you, and you'd feel totally, totally good about this. First off, the first answer to the door hanger question is, the reason why it's a door hanger is because it hangs on the door and it's not stuck in the door and pissing people off. And I think in most areas of the United States, the United States Post Office, as silly as this is, and I think it's a ridiculous law, owns the mailbox.
Right.
So you're not allowed to even stick a flyer in someone's mailbox because they could fine you for doing that and charge you. That's our area, and I think it's pretty much across the board in the U.S.
That's a federal law.
Yeah, it's insane. But
now let me ask you a question.
But hold on, let me do this quickly. If you
about the post office box.
Okay, go ahead.
If you put a flyer on the flag, is that still considered illegal?
On the flag of the mailbox?
Yes, because it's not actually in the mailbox.
I think anything to do with the mailbox, touching it or putting anything on it, yes.
Yeah, it's a gray.
It's a gray area. You could check. You may have a mailman that is totally cool and would never even say anything, or you might get this guy as a chop buster. I've had people remove all my flyers, bring them back to the postmaster, and say this was in my mail slot. And the funny thing is, my West Isle postmaster is my student, and he says, "Why'd you remove them?" And
yeah.
They go, well, you know, and he goes, listen, from now on, leave him in there. But if it was a postmaster that busted chops, he could have, you know, yelled at me.
Yeah, you got to be real careful with that. It's federal, like, it's a federal offense.
Exactly.
So you could really be getting big trouble.
I recommend anything that I tell you guys, always check your local areas. But another thing, the door hangers are just going on a person's doorknob. And, you know, you're right, even if you put it on a car, some shopping centers may get annoyed. And they may get pissed off. But you know what? After you did 1,000 flyers and they tell you not to do it again, then you say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Or
the one thing I found, though, is I did that once, and this guy actually went out and grabbed 4 people and collected all the flyers.
Okay.
Threw them in the dumpster.
Well, that's a possibility, but you know what? That's worth taking a chance on.
Yeah.
You know, because let's say he forgot one flyer, or one person drove away with the flyer on their car, and they joined your school, it was well worth it.
Right.
But my point is, though, you need to, and I'm not telling you to do anything illegal or something that may get you in trouble, but I found that, you know, we'll hit a mall and not 5-6 times in a row and not get a call. Then we'll hit a mall one time, and the security guard had a bad day, and he'll get mad at us. But in reference to your thing with the Halloween party, I went to my mall the other day, and on Halloween, the day before Halloween, we delivered 5,000 flyers, and what they were was Halloween safety tips for parents and kids, and on the bottom in small print, we had a coupon with a special on it. So when I went there, one of the police officers, not even a security guard from the mall, a cop from the area, said, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. I said, officer, I'm handing in. I showed it to him. He said, oh, this is a great thing. Put it right out on all the cars.
Yeah.
Because it was really, and a lot of people, I go, would you like one? And they go, no. And I go, it's really just a holiday tip for Halloween, for safety tips for parents and kids. And people were loving it. So it's really all about how you approach it. People weren't offended because it was more of a community message. So maybe do like, you know, safety tips for children, and then have your advertisement on the bottom and hand those out in the shopping centers. Rather than just having a blanket flyer that says Joe's Martial Arts School, come and join my commercial establishment and make me rich. You know, that's basically what people think. If you have a thing that's beneficial to the community, people look at it and tend to look at it differently. So I think that's a good way to approach those mass marketing shopping centers, malls, things of that nature. Because how could someone yell at you for saying, don't hand me Halloween tips, I don't want to know how to save my kid? They could say no, but are they going to get mad because you're out there trying to do a service for the community? I think not. And the second thing is, with door hangers, you're putting it on their door so they're not really getting annoyed because it's not stuck in something. It's not, you know, and then what? It's like when I send out blanket emails and I get a person who's so annoyed, they go, remove me from your mailing list. And I, you know, it's just, I get spam every day, and all I do is hit delete, delete, delete. It takes me like 1.5 minutes to delete 50 spam mails. And for me, it doesn't bother me. For someone else, it might set them off the handle. They'll contact AOL. They'll create a big issue. It really all depends who you hit. But the majority of people might take it and read it, or might throw it away, or might turn it.
You're saying do emails?
I do everything. Yeah, I do emails. I get blanket emails. That's another thing. If you're getting people inquiring about your school, you should ask them if you could put them on your free email list. And every single day, and you guys, if you want to, anybody here could email me, and I'll put you on my database email list from my martial arts school, and you guys will be able to see what I do. You know, when I was in Japan, I sent out positive messages. I sent pictures of me in Thailand, updates from my students, things that I did, and I'll send out positive tips of the day. And I have grandparents that are on my email list that don't do martial arts, but they just say, keep on sending the positive tips. And you should have an email list as well that pretty much has a, you know, an ongoing theme to encourage people to do the right thing in their lives and, you know, help them. And whether they join your school or not, you're doing something positive. Did that answer the majority of those questions?
I have a question for you.
That was a good answer.
Okay, good. All right, your question, yes.
How do you get those mass emailing products?
I don't. What the actual stuff that I email?
No, like when you have someone on a mass emailing list, how do you bulk mass email people? Is there a program you have to buy for that?
Or? There are, but I just do it in a simple database in Outlook, in Access, I mean, Microsoft Access, and I set the database up, and I blind carbon copy it through my AOL service, and I have
put
an
it
AOL,
in a simple
little database. Real
database
easy.
From Microsoft Office?
Yeah, from Access I have. But you could do it in a major. If you have AOL, you could easily put it in your AOL program as well.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
This is Mike Bidwell from Newark.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Great.
With the emails, the way that I've been doing it is I like
right now.
Through my students and through people coming to my school.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
I'm listening to you, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Anyways, what we use is Contact Mailer.
Okay.
And you can send out mass emails through them and set up a database through them.
That's great.
So Contact Mailer?
Yeah.
How awesome. Do you get a hold of them?
But just go to contactmailer.com. And what you can also do is go to another website called Audio Generator. And Audio Generator will make it so that you can set up audio messages.
Oh, wow. Audiogenerator.com?
Yeah, it's really awesome. I do a series of, like, 3 or 4 emails all with audio messages.
Wow.
Testimonials in them too.
I love that. Thanks a lot. I'm gonna go on that right away, and I'll start that. You'll probably get one from me in the next few days.
Email, and I'll send you some of the ones that I send out. And you can
that'll be pretty cool. I'd love
yeah,
to do that. And that's why anybody who's interested in being on my email list, it's not a taking it to the next level APS thing. It's really just going to pretend that you're my like a student in my school.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And the reason why is you could look and you'll get my monthly newsletter. You'll see the specials and what I'm running and the things that I mail out and just how I keep in contact with my students. And I'd love to have you on there, and then you could say, oh, well, this is a good idea, and you're welcome to steal different things and use them, and I don't care, and I think it'll be just a good thing for you guys.
How do we get on that list?
My email is this, R-E-N-S-H-I, Renshi, L-I, like Long Island Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. So it's Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I, L-I, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. Just send me an email and say, put me on your mailing list. I heard you on the conference call. I just want to key into what you're doing. And I send out probably, right now my computer's down at my house, but I would probably send out 4 positive messages a week that'll just be like quotes or sayings and things of that nature. And then I'll incorporate my, you know, different events that we're doing. Along with my emails every single week, we have the auto dialer that I purchased from APS, and it sends out a positive message to my students and gives them updates. So we dial our entire database every single week or every 2 weeks and say, this is a message from Renshi Alley. I wanted to let you know that we have an upcoming event on this such and such a date, and we have this and that, and the dojo's closed for this date and that date, and I hope to hear from you soon, and see you later. So we use the auto dialer, and that's something that it's an investment that I recommend everyone looks into, and you could contact Joanne and any of the staff at APS on the auto dialer.
So you're saying use the auto dialer?
I love it. I've been using it, and it really is incredible.
Now, my thing is that I thought that the auto dialer would be too impersonal.
Well, when you have – how many students do you have?
I have over 100 now,
okay.
And actually we're growing so fast, I'm trying to find room on the floor for them.
Okay. When you say you have over 100 students and growing, once you hit 150 to 200, you might want to go to an auto dialer. But if you could find the time and have the staff to call
well, I have a lady that does the phone call.
Well, then if she could call everybody, then I recommend to do a personal phone call.
Yeah, she's doing that, but it seems like now we're getting to the point where I can't keep up even
exactly.
with the phone calls.
Yeah, you see, the auto dialer kind of, it is slightly impersonal, but at the same time, it's not because everybody's hearing my voice and hearing a message from me, and they know that I could never call 1,200 students. So,
do you mind if I interrupt for
sure.
just a second about that, Alan?
Yes.
Actually, Allie is using. We have numerous amounts of clients using the appointment calling unit right now, and what they're using it for is not so much as a necessarily a sales pitch or something that would be considered. It's not really impersonal because you're taking time out of your day to set up an appointment call or to call them to remind them of important goings on at the school.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, Allie, you probably use that for things like weather, you know, inclement weather.
Absolutely,
closings.
Yeah, closings, anything.
Right.
Special things that we're doing, like an event if we're closed on a day but we have a special event, or holiday Christmas party, we're about to send one out on our holiday party, and so on.
Yeah, so it is. I have information about it if anybody's interested. So
yeah,
just shoot me an email.
Yeah, you should definitely check into it, because I was a little hesitant in the very beginning because it is a little bit of investment, but I knew I needed something like that. And once I got it, just like when in the beginning when I didn't have a billing company about 9 years ago, I was hesitant to get a billing company. And then when I got it, I said, "What was I, nuts? Like, how did I survive without this?"
It seems like every time you get to that next level, you need something else.
Oh, absolutely. I talked about it at my seminars I talk about that all the time, about how each time that you grow, I look at it like when you have a small school of 30 students, you're like a little family, tightly knit family. Once you have like 60 students to 100 students, you start to become kind of like an extended family and a small community. And then you become like a little small town, and then all of a sudden you grow to be like a city.
Right.
And each time you hit the next tier, you have to find a whole new set of fail-safes and systems to approach and contact and be in contact and speak to all the students. Because as you grow, the dynamics and the congruency of your school changes. So that's very, very important that, you know, you realize that, and we have to keep that, you know, going.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Maybe off the subject. As I'm growing, I do almost all the sales, and I just can't find that. You can't find somebody that can do it as good as you can. How
right.
do you get to the point when you know you start sales start getting to the point where they're so great that you need to be, you know, other places? And how do you find someone that can do a job like that?
Well, the first thing you have to do is really look clearly at your staff and ask the question, is it really true that you're the best person for the job? Because as martial artists, it's hard for us to relinquish responsibility to others. We're very, very controlling as martial artists because we know that what we do it really well, and we don't want to give it away. So sometimes people might not do it exactly the way you do it, but get almost the same results. If you find that a person's not getting the same results, like you sell at 10 out of 10 and they sell 5 out of 5, it's a matter of you spending the time now to train them to get 10 out of 10. And if you put more and more time and effort into making them better, they'll eventually be able to do the job better than you, and you could move on to other things, bigger and better. I have to tell you, the reason why I have any bit of success in my life is because I delegate better than I do. So I'm able to say, okay, guys, you guys do this, 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 and this, and then I'm able to facilitate it and watch people and make sure that what they're doing is good, and I always say, follow up, you know, what you ask for. Inspect what you expect. And that's how I'm able to succeed, and I continually train my staff to be better, and I continually make new systems to make them better, and I put new systems in to make the business better, so that's why you'll be able to grow. So training is everything.
Yeah, another thing I found was that it just seems like most people just don't want to do sales. They don't
right.
want to do the phone calls. They don't want to do the sales. And that's very hard.
Okay, well, understand that never ever generalize and say most people, because that's really not true. You just haven't found the right person.
Okay.
So what you need to do is be like Donald Trump on The Apprentice and search the right person. You might have to go through 15 people through a grueling 6-week period of time, or 50 people, to find the right person for the job. Sometimes you need to, if you hire somebody and they don't seem to be clicking after a few weeks, you'll know. Don't think that if you kept
around
for 6 months.
So you said be like Donald Trump and do what? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Okay, you can't hire somebody and wait forever for them to mold into the job. If you see after 6 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 weeks that they're just not blending, maybe it's not the job for them, and you might want to cut them loose or put them in a different position and do a corporate shuffle or whatever. You know, you need to find the right people. So, you know, when you say most people are not really interested in sales, there's a huge amount of people out there that are really into sales. They love it, and they're great at it. You just got to find the right people.
Would you recommend doing an ad in a paper or something?
Sure. You could do that. It really all depends on what you want to spend. And, again, think of your customer value. If you could get a guy and pay him $500 a week, but he could bring you in 10 new students a week, you're making, you know, 10 new students, that's 40 new students a month. That's, you know, that's his entire paycheck for the year. Imagine you could pay him $40,000 a year easily and still make a huge profit off of him. So they're worth it. You just got to find out what your customer value is and what you're willing to spend. So anyway, is that any other quick questions? Because I'm going to move on to topic number three. None? Okay. The next thing that I wanted to talk about...
Allie, can I interrupt for a second here?
Sure.
I do have one question.
Sure.
The person that said about the contact mailer, is that correct? Contactmailer.com?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And audiogenerator.com, correct?
Yes, and that also. I've got that one.
Awesome. That's exciting. I'm going to start using that because I do send out voice clips to people, and I do it all on my own and through Premiere and video programs, and it's a pain in the neck. So if this would simplify my life, that would be great.
Hey, Allie, real quick.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I just want to add something real quick.
Sure.
The audio generator that's really awesome is they have on their website, you have your own 1-800 number.
Oh, yeah.
Extension that your students can call and leave their own testimonials. It automatically goes into your website, into your box on there, and you can add that. They give you the codes and everything to add that to your website, to the emails you send out.
Wow. What does something like that cost a month?
It's like $50 a month.
How much, 50?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's probably one of the best things that I've done in a long
time. Wow.
You know, the other thing you can do is you can program your website so people can put their testimonials in, and this is what I do, and then what happens is that it comes to you, and then you can screen them to make sure it's not something that... You know,
right, that you don't want people to hear.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
And then
what you do is you just approve or disapprove, and it pops right on there. And it doesn't cost you anything. It just costs you the money up front for whoever designed your website.
Wow, I love that. Let me also say to you guys that, and I don't know if anybody has been on my website, takingittothenextlevel.com, but if you guys have been on it and you enjoy it, I'd love, an idea like this would be just great to give to my people. So any of you guys out there that have ideas, compliments, criticisms, you know, send it to me because... I think that what we're developing here in APS is going to be this incredible network of super, when I did my consulting calls yesterday, I felt like a few people were really closed-minded, and they knew everything that they needed to do, yet they weren't getting the results. But then after speaking with them, they opened up a little, they got rid of that martial art ego a bit, and they were really great people, and they had so much to offer, and we talked to a lot of people, had so many things that they could give me, and I gave them some ideas, and it's just a great blend that we have, and we're going to build this incredible network of people that we're going to be the top in the industry if we could keep going the way we're going with APS and you know, the consulting. So let's do that. Okay, let me talk about the last thing because, amazingly enough, we have 15 minutes left and I'll wrap up on this. The article that I'm going to be writing is called Opening a Can of Worms, and the reason why I say this is because a lot of times when we do a sale...
Out of the office, please.
And we sell people on our membership, and we close the sale, and we go, okay, great. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. I'm so happy to have you join the family. I know you and your daughter are going to love martial art training, and we're so happy that they signed up, we let them walk out the door. What happens is a lot of times we don't clarify what's expected of our clients. So what happens is it's like this. I use the analogy today. My buddy and I go out to breakfast every week, and he's a martial arts school owner. And I said, it's like this. Imagine that you go out to the same diner every single week and you buy eggs, and the eggs for breakfast cost you $11.99. But you went to a new place, and without even looking at the menu, you said, I'll have the eggs for $11.99. And all of a sudden, not for $11.99, but I'll have an egg breakfast with cheese. And then they brought you the eggs, you ate them, they were delicious, and they were $90. And you go to yourself, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And you'd be annoyed, and you'd never go back to that place again. The problem is, though, that every restaurant and every place is different, and we don't explain to our clients what's expected of them, what they're going to expect, what they're going to get, and so on and so forth. And I think the majority of the time it's because we don't want to open up the can of worms. And let me tell you, this is what I mean by this. Imagine after you sign a client up and they signed the contract and they gave you the deposit check, you said to them right then and there, how about we meet next week on Friday at 3 o'clock for another half hour, because I really would like to go over some things with you to make your experience at Long Island Ninjutsu Centers the most pleasant, educational, and dynamic experience you're ever going to have in your life for either you or your child. Most parents would be overwhelmed and say yes. At that point when they come in, I would sit down with Mrs. Jones, let's say, and I'd say, Mrs. Jones, I have a few questions for you because we're still in the interview process. I would like to know if you could tell me, just in your eyes and your mind, because everyone is different, how are you going to handle it when Joey wants to quit? People go, why ask that question? Because that triggers all these other crazy emotions. Don't even bring it up. I believe the opposite. I want to know from Mrs. Smith that she's going to say, well, Wrenchy Alley, I would... I don't know what I would do. Maybe I would, you know, threaten them. Maybe I would do this. Maybe I would, you know, take it away from them. Maybe, or maybe I'd just let them quit. And at that point, I could say, well, Mrs. Smith, this is the team effort that we have here at Long Island Ninjutsu Centers. We encourage you, because we know that at some point in your life, or your son's life, that there's going to be things that are going to get in the way of your martial art training. But we know that the benefits are endless, that if you stick with this, it's going to give you benefits that will last you forever and will be unbelievable. But I know that you're going to go through these struggles, or your son's going to go through these struggles. So I suggest at the time when you see these trigger points that this is going on, that you do A, B, and C. You call us, you let us know, and yada, 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 and you do this at home. So they're prepared. They're well prepared to be able to deal with this situation, and they're able to nip it in the bud. Because it's just like anything. It's like a relationship where a couple, they don't communicate for a period of time. Then all of a sudden, one person thinks it's blissful in the relationship, and the other person comes to them and says, you know what, I'm not happy, I'm not in love anymore, I want out. And the other person is shocked. That's what happens to us every day in the martial arts. There's nobody out there, no school owner, that doesn't say to me that they're not surprised. I had this kid, he trained with me for 2 years. They don't return my phone calls, they were doing so great, they won't even call me back, and they just disappeared off the face of the earth. We don't know what's going on in their lives, and we haven't prepared them to let them know that they have to communicate with us. So we try to educate our parents ahead of time and say to them, you know, these are the things that are going to happen. This is the way I'd like you to handle it. It's not always going to be the way you want it to be. They may not handle it that way, even though you're approaching it in a different way. But if you explain to them this is the way and how easy it is, and I'm going to be there for you if you want to quit. And if you do quit, we could still keep the lines of communication open, and you could switch over to our email newsletter or whatever. And you give them all these other options, and you open up all the doubts that they may have and get them out on the table, people will have no problem communicating with you. And you could also open up a can of worms and say, you know what, in 2 months I'm going to want to sit back down with you, because if your son is doing really well, we normally approach you and talk to you about our accelerated program at the Black Belt Club. I can't go into it too much now because he's not at that point, but I want you to be aware that in 2 months we're going to be able to go over this new program called the Master's Elite Program, or the Team Leader Character Development Program. And you establish that ahead of time. You pre-frame them to know that they're going to sit down with you, and they're going to be maybe able to upgrade their child. Also, another thing is when you're doing your conferences and you're explaining that to them, you say to them right up front, you know what, Mrs. Smith, from beginner to black belt, if your son Johnny makes it to black belt, you're going to need to buy X amount of gear. It's included, and you have to go to one of our competitions. And I also want to let you know that it's going to end up costing you over the course of 5 years, probably approximately $600, which breaks down to like $90 more a year. So like when it comes time, they're not sticker shocked. They don't go, you never told me about this. You never told me about that. I can't believe that you're making me buy this. This is all about the money with you, isn't it? You know, well, no, it's not, because we've established this way ahead of time, and you agreed to it. And in order to have the best experience so your son can continue, or you can continue, this is what I need of you. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep. Yeah, but you know what I find, though, is
go ahead.
You have other schools say, well, you don't have to pay for testing fees. You don't have to pay
right.
for this. You don't have to pay for that. And what they do is they just basically shift the money around. So they kind of make you pay it one way or another. I mean, it's kind of like
everybody pays for everything.
You know, and so when they go, well, I don't have to buy equipment, I don't have to do this.
Right.
And
they lie.
Yeah,
you know,
of course they do. But
you know
then,
what though? Let
but
me.
Then I lose students sometimes. But I tell them, I says, you know, if you go to any professional school, they're gonna have testing fees. They're gonna have this. They're gonna have that.
Yeah, but you see, my point is though that you have to pre-sell them on the idea and let them know way ahead of time that
right,
they're gonna have to do
that
those things.
Right, sit down the table.
Right.
And they're taking notes, literally taking notes. I find
right.
So there's like in my town, there's one school for every square mile.
Okay.
That's everywhere.
And so you're sitting there, and they're taking notes, and they're going, oh, well, you have testing fees, you have this, you have this, you have this. Okay, well, I'm not going to go to your school. I'm going to go to Joe ABC school down the road because they don't have those things, and this is going to be the least expensive for my kids.
Well, but you know what then? You know, again, if you were in my town and people said that to me, let's say we were in competition together and you weren't doing testing fees and you weren't doing all that. Well, in my school, I don't charge test fees, but they're included in the price.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it all depends on how you package it. But it's always really, the bottom line comes down to, what are they going to get for what are you going to give to them that's going to make you better than the school down the road? Or forget about the school down the road, what are you going to give to them that's going to make you worth it to them? And that's really, all you have to do is sell yourself. You can't, you see, the whole concept that I laugh about continuously is like, I have five martial arts schools in my town. Not one of them is my competition. I don't think of them as competition. I think of them as an asset. Most of the majority of their people quit their school, come to me. A lot of my people that may quit may go to them. We're helping each other in the long run, because if I advertise and the person stumbles in their school off of my flyer by accident, people join their school. But the competition is not martial arts schools. It's the, you know, football, baseball, soccer, piano, school. And the biggest competition we have is out-and-out lethargic, lazy behavior and the non-committal attitude of parents to not commit their children and adults not dedicating themselves to many things lately. It's a ridiculous society that we live in where people are just so used to just being lazy and not committed. But you know what? That's why we as martial artists are such a powerful institution, because we're the only ones left holding on to these virtues of stick-to-itiveness
Can I ask you a question?
Period of time. Yes.
Has anybody else found that a lot of the schools are pulling away from allowing you to do flyering and stuff in the schools, and that you find a lot of not-for-profit organizations are getting more of a foothold?
I don't find that not-for-profit organizations are getting more of a foothold. I find that every area to be very different. In my buddy's area in Colorado, it's different with flyers. They let him put his flyers in every school mailbox whenever he wants. Over here, we can't do that.
Right.
But we found other ways into the school. We found other ways to do parents' days and special person days and different things and so on and so forth. So we never really, you know, we never look at anything as a block. We always find, you know, like a martial artist, if a person covers up really well, you're going to find a way around that to be able to attack the body.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
you'll
find
things,
some of that.
The trends in this area that what's happening is you got principals that have a different outlook, and some of the other martial arts schools have abused the system, so
right.
They've kind of pushed everybody out, because you know, threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, well, what you need to do, if that is happening in your area, what you need to do is reestablish that communication, and that's a great opportunity for you, because once you establish their trust, and it might take you months or even years, but once you do, you will be the person that they will come to for everything. So that's why I say this a lot. I don't look at other martial arts schools as my competition. I look at them as an asset. And let me give you another analogy. In my town, there's a car dealership everywhere, and it's funny that they all buy properties right across the street from each other.
They do.
So if you think of the concept of why would McDonald's or why would a car dealer open up right down the road from another car dealer when they know that they're in, like, strategically you would think that they would say, go far away from the next car dealer so that you have a better market value. But why don't they do that? Why does McDonald's open up right across the street from Burger King? Because it's the lore of averages. What they're doing is they're just saturating that town with people who eat junk food. If people go across the street to Chrysler and they're not happy, they're going to shop and walk right across the street, because right now they're in the mood to buy. They want to buy a car or else they wouldn't be looking. Now they're going to go across the street to Chevy. So if you have a person coming in your school and they're saying, down the block, this one's doing yada, 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 and it's cheaper, you go, well, let me ask you a question. I have people coming in my school all the time and going, you know what, your school is very crowded. So my answer to them is, my reframe is, if you went to a restaurant and it was empty 24 hours a day or 7 days a week or 5 days a week, there was no one in there, do you feel safe walking into a restaurant when there's only two people, or do you feel that something's wrong? And most people, I know I feel that way. I go, wow, there's no one here. Is the food bad? Did someone die recently? What's going on? Is the service terrible? I ask myself that question continuously. So when people come in my school and they go, wow, you're really crowded, I go, you know why? That's because we're really good. Everyone wants to get into the school. And that's how you sell to people. You just reframe them. And you know, you show them why, that you're the best and you're the best choice. But it doesn't have to be because you do more than the karate school down the road. You just show them why you're the best choice for their child for martial arts at this particular moment in time. So anybody, any last questions? Because we have about 4 minutes to close. None?
Well, what's your email again?
My email is R-E-N-S-H-I, Renshi. L-I, like Long Island, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I Ninja, at AOL.com.
Got it.
My website is takingittothenextlevel.com. And we're going to soon, we're just waiting for a few little things from APS on a form, and then everybody's been asking me. I have like 65 people trying to get into my premium section on my website, which is going to be absolutely probably one of the most phenomenal and revolutionized consulting kind of websites that's out there, and trust me when I say that, because I've had a few people test market it, and just the information that I've given to them, they've really done well with. So check that out. There's hosts of free information on that site that's worth thousands of dollars to all of you guys. So go out there and take a look, takingittothenextlevel.com. And that's really about it. I mean, if there's any other last questions, I can answer them. I think you guys are awesome. I see a few things that say thanks and what your email address is. I'm looking on the website. And I'm happy to have this many people on. I think this is probably one of our most busiest, right, Joanne?
Yeah, it definitely is.
And I'm hoping that it continually builds. And please, guys, if you know people, tell them about APS and help them out with their billing service. You know, let them know that they're killing themselves billing on their own if you know school owners. And I suggest, my last suggestion to people is definitely mute your telephones, because that's driving me crazy in the background right there. And this next suggestion that I would suggest to people is network with the schools around you. Find someone in your town that's doing better than you and mentor with them and work with them. Or just create this little clique and stop thinking as your martial art people as competition. Because if you're in a school in an area where you have four schools and there's 40,000 people, let me tell you, there's plenty of people out there for everybody.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you're saying create a network with the other schools that are local around you, even schools that are maybe half a mile or a mile away from you?
Well, let me ask you a question. What schools are half a mile away from you? What style do you teach?
Well, I teach Taekwondo.
And what do they teach?
Another guy says he teaches martial arts, but he basically teaches Taekwondo, but he teaches WTF. I teach ITF.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me give you this analogy, and I always say this. There's like hundreds of flavors of ice cream. Mm-hmm. Not everyone likes vanilla and chocolate. Mm-hmm. That's why all these flavors are out there. So you know there's no doubt that there are going to be people that join your school that love you to death, and there are going to be some people who join for some reason or another. They just quit your school. The good majority of people that join martial arts and quit never continue. But the few that continue may go down to the guy down the road. I would rather say to Mrs. Smith, with an effort to create a good relationship with this lady, because it's going to change everything. Later on, I'll say, Mrs. Smith, I know that you're not happy and Johnny's not having a good time in our school. Before you actually quit the martial arts, maybe you should go down to Mr. Lee down the road and see if that's a better fit for you. I mean, after all, they're leaving your school anyway. Then down the road, Mr. Lee's going to get a few of your people, and hopefully he's going to reciprocate with the same kind of attitude, because usually if you're kind to someone, they're kind to you back, and they're going to send his bad people to you that don't like him. And then also the next thing that I can see all the time is I'll go into a school, and I'll close on this note, and I hear people bad-mouthing the school down the road. They'll go, well, we're better than them because we do this, this, and that, and they don't do this, this, and that. And what you do right then and there is immediately create the perception that you're not as good as you are, because people are seeing you complaining and bad-mouthing, and that's not what martial artists are supposed to be doing. So if you could say, hey, you know, they do something different, we're great at what we do, and this is what we do, blah, 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 blah. And this is why we're so good, and this is why we have so many students, and we'd love to have you here because we offer you this, 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 and this. People will be much more inclined to stay with you rather than going, well, we could give you more. And because the other people are, they're there to see you, and if you impress them, they're going to join your school. But if you don't, they're going to go down the road. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so don't badmouth people down the road.
Nah. Don't even think of them as competition. Think of them as your friends. They're martial artists.
When someone asks you, like, hey, well, what do you think about this other school I just went to?
I would say,
I've had people come in with, like, four flyers from a different school and say, hey, we're shopping around.
You know what I would say? I don't know about those other schools, but this is what we could do for you, and this is what people say, and I'd show them testimonials about my school, and these are the results that we've had at our school, and this is what we offer at our school, and this is what I do as a teacher, and this is how long I've been doing and what I've built and yada, yada, yada. That's exactly what I would say, and then they could always say, okay, well, I'll get back to you. And if they decide to get back to you because you haven't sold them, they may get back to you and they may not. You know, they may be just price hunters. They might just be, you know, when people come into my school with five different flyers, the majority of people that do that, if it is very, very small, maybe like a half a percent.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
But if they
happen.
Do that, they're not going to join your school. They're going for the cheapest price that's out there, you know, or they're smart and they're shopping around and they found that they're going to go to the person that they feel is the best. So if you're the best, they're going to join your school. So again, like I said, Joe's Karate down the road does not scare me at all.
Yeah.
I have a guy less than a mile away from me. He does everything. He's my alter ego. Everything that I do, he does the opposite. He doesn't have contracts. I have contracts. He doesn't have, you know, weekly, yearly commitments. I have yearly commitments. He doesn't. Everything that I do, he claims to be different. And he's got 120 students, and I have 450 in this one location.
Right. Well, what I'm looking at right now is I'm finding like almost like a landslide of people coming into my school.
Well, that's great.
And, you know,
how are you doing as far as signing them up?
I've been using the APS program, and I've been using the trial, putting all the people in as trial members. And
right.
And then what I'm having problems is figuring out the ratios because
okay. The
software I don't think really helps me.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you call Joanne immediately when we get off the phone or tomorrow and get on our conference call, and set up a half an hour consult with me at the end of the month, and we'll work specifically on getting that fixed.
Okay, call Joanne and...
Yeah, just set up, she has half an hour slots open, and everyone else, I would hope that all you guys would do the same, because I'd like to get to know everybody personally, and I'd love for you guys to help me grow, and I'd like to try to just, make friends. So please let me do that, and I'm there for everybody, and hopefully you guys could be there for me as well. And
yeah, definitely.
Maybe one day we'll go to my dojo in Costa Rica, and we'll have a huge APS convention and train in Costa Rica and enjoy each other's company.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Help me in.
I hear you. Either that or we could go to Bermuda, because I have a school in Bermuda, and now we just opened up a school in Thailand. So we have three nice places to go.
I'll work.
Yeah, so we'll go to either one. As a matter of fact, just as a little secret, don't share this with anybody, though Jeff and I have spoke about maybe doing a leadership summit in Bermuda and or Costa Rica, so that is something that we have been talking about, so I'm not just joking about that.
So make sure you guys start saving for those plane tickets.
Yeah, and Joanne, we could debit that right out of their account, right?
Yeah, we certainly could do that as well, yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, so much. Thanks for listening to me, because I love to talk, and you guys help me out by doing that.
Well, there was a great number of people. I think this is a great call today, and I'm glad that everybody joined us.
Great, and you guys have a great day. Keep in touch with me via email, RenchiLiNinja@AOL.com, or just touch base with APS, and I'll get you hooked up with me somehow, and get on the half-an-hour conference call.
Yes, just give me a call, and you can schedule a time.
Okay, thank you, Joanne.
Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.